What is Sharia?
Sharia for Muslims is the way that God tells us to live. So it's sort of a life path, guidelines, rules for right action for someone's life.
That's Asifa Qureshi Landis. She's a law professor at the University of Wisconsin who studies Islamic and U.S. constitutional law. Tomorrow, there's a protest against Sharia at City Hall, part of similar rallies around the U.S. The organizers claim Sharia condones practices like female genital mutilation, forced marriage, and oppression of the LGBTQ community. But Qureshi Landis told me they're wrong.
One of the challenges is it's often translated as Sharia law, which right away confuses the issue. So Sharia covers lots of things that we in the West would consider law, but it also covers a lot of things that we would not call law, like manners or good behavior or ethics or morality or even ritual worship. So it covers a whole lot of things.
Can you give some examples where folks might confuse it with their understanding of law, per se?
Yes. So there are rules for example, this has come up in the news quite a lot, of the rules of a marriage contract, for example. What are the rules of a husband and a wife in a Muslim marriage? So these are articulated in a lot of detail by the Muslim legal scholars, rights, duties, etc. But they're articulated by private scholar experts, not by the state in a classical Muslim context. So we think of these things as like a family law code, for example. But in the Sharia literature, it's not run by the state. It's set up by individual legal scholars, and you would go to that scholar for information about whether you have a certain right or not in a marital relationship. Many people confuse that because it sounds like a law. These are rules of the husband must do this, etc. And it sounds like what we would call a law, especially because we have similar family codes about rights of access to divorce, etc. But in a classical pre-colonial, pre-modern Muslim context, these were handled not by the state as far as what are the rules. They wouldn't, in other words, they wouldn't legislate one set of rules for everybody. They would facilitate you going to your local religious expert to resolve conflicts that might happen amongst yourselves. Sharia is this idea of what God tells us to do, but the particulars of what that means in everyday life are articulated by these scholars, and they call those rules fiqh, which literally means understanding. So right there you see that they understood that they were fallible and they were not speaking for God. It naturally creates diversity of interpretation because they acknowledge that I could be right, you could be right, maybe I'm wrong. So you end up with these many, many different schools of thought.
Well, here in the United States, there is this constitutional principle of the separation of church and state. How does Sharia fit with that?
It fits more closely than you might think if you were listening to the rhetoric of Muslim rulers around the world. Before the modern era, Muslim societies operated with a very, very strong distinction between the kinds of law that the state made and the kinds of law that were religious rules for people to live their lives. And so Muslims are very comfortable with that separation. It's only in the very modern time that these have been merged in Muslim-majority countries, largely as a result of colonialism. So when Muslims in the United States say they want Sharia, they are not talking about the state law. They're talking about what they want to govern their lives in their private sphere. For example, they want their marriages to be valid under God, and there's various procedures that they have to do to follow that. They want their inheritance distributed according to the Quranic distribution, but they're not talking about taking over state law. In fact, it is part of Sharia for Muslims to follow the law of the land wherever they are, even if it's non-Muslim land. The only situation where you wouldn't do that would be in a situation where you are prohibited from doing mandatory things under Islam. Muslims in that situation of oppression where they could not practice their religious duties, their obligation was to leave. So there is no situation where Muslims wanting to follow Sharia are actually arguing to take over the state laws.
So looking ahead to this weekend, the people organizing the protests claim that Sharia oppresses women and people in the LGBTQ community. What do you make of that claim?
Well, I'm tired of it, first of all, because it's an old trope that has been used to justify a lot of oppressive behaviors towards Muslims because it's a stereotype that is not true. And so it's really a code for anti-Muslim behavior in most cases. On the question of is Islam oppressive to women, you really need to look at what Muslims are saying on this topic. And Muslim women activists have been working on the areas of the religious rules that might be problematic for women's rights today, but they're operating from a Muslim-centered perspective to challenge that. And there's been many, many innovative and very persuasive changes in some of the classical rules that we today might think were unfair to women. And there's actually many classical rules that are more advanced for women's rights than our Western rules that we're familiar with today.
Can you give us an example of where people misunderstand that Sharia is oppressive of women?
Female genital mutilation is often identified as one of those examples. And it's in the news again because there's a case recently of a doctor who is being prosecuted for FGM here in the United States for actually carrying out some FGM. And what I wanted to point out is that almost immediately that this hit the news, several Muslim organizations around the country got together and wrote a statement condemning female genital mutilation from a Muslim perspective. On the LGBT topic, this is a topic of conversation among many religions as to what are the rights of same-sex relationships, queer relationships, queer identity. These are things that are a modern phenomenon that everyone is wrestling with, and Muslim scholars and public are wrestling with it in the same way that that other religious communities are. So you'll find a lot of range of opinions within the Muslim community on all of the LGBTQ issues, just as you will in a Christian or a Jewish community. So it's not one-sided just to Muslims.
If you could explain one aspect of Sharia to the protest organizers, what would you tell them?
Oh, gosh, just one thing, huh? I would say we agree on more than you think. What you're complaining about is a misunderstanding of what Sharia means in my life. There's a fear that if Sharia is important to me as an American Muslim, that is somehow threatening and incompatible with my following of American law. And that's just not true. I agree with the constitutional structure that we have here in the United States, and nearly every American Muslim that you would ask would say the same thing.
That was law professor Asifa Qureshi Landas from the University of Wisconsin. There's more about tomorrow's protest and counter rally in Seattle at KUOW.org.